praise him. Wherever I can, I'll praise him, for his love surrounds me like the sea. Wherever I am,
touched mine, praise the Lord. Let's sing it tonight. When its wounded hand touched mine, just before we turn to the Word of God. And the Lord bless each one this evening. Praise God.
His wounded hand touched mine. When his wounded hand touched mine, Jesus set me free. When his wounded hand touched mine,
one more time.
When his wounded hand touched mine, when his wounded hand touched mine, Jesus set me free for all eternity.
Praise the Lord. Let us close our eyes tonight. Praise God. And We just want to bow before the Lord. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for the lovely name of Jesus Christ, the name that is far above every other name. Lord, we bless you this evening that the tomb is empty and the cross is empty and Christ is risen indeed from the dead, triumphant over death, over hell, and over the grave. We thank you for the atonement. We thank you for redemption, and we thank you for redemption's plan. We bless you, Lord, that you're the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world by the foreknowledge of God. I pray this evening in this house you'll bless each and every one. Touch every life, those listening in, touch them, bless them. Save and heal and deliver. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Lord, I take the Holy Ghost right now. And I thank you that you do undertake for me in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we pray again for those in hospital or Sister Lynn. We ask from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet that she may know the touch and the power of the Lord and that the angel of the Lord will come near and touch her in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, touch everyone in this house. Those that couldn't be here, bless them, minister to them. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, give us the milk and give us the wine that we heard about this morning and a little honey as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Lord bless you tonight. You know, when you get looking at these different things, there's so many avenues in the Bible. You know, when you're young and you start preaching, you wonder, what am I going to preach? But after you preach for 30 years or more, and you start getting into the Bible, and then you don't know where to quit, there's that much. God's word's unending. Let us read tonight from Matthew 8, verse 16 to 17. And I know a lot of people don't believe that healing's in the atonement, but I believe it is. And I want to tell you that from the very start. I believe the word of God. Amen. Matthew 8, verse 16 and 17. You could read Isaiah 53. We'll read it in a moment. But let's read Matthew 8, verse 16 17. We know that God will bless his own word. When evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and he bare, that means carried, our sicknesses. Isaiah 53 verse 4 to 5, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with the stripes or wounds we are healed. I'm not going to turn to 1 Peter 2:24, but 1 Peter 2:24 says, he his own self bare our sins on his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. By his stripes, wounds, we were healed. There's so many scriptures that speak of healing in the atonement. The day of atonement was when Jesus Christ paid the price for your sins to be forgiven and for the health to your body. He didn't just recover from part of what we lost through the fall of the first Adam, but he recovered all at the cross. Remember, Jesus Christ assumed full and total responsibility back of the devil at Calvary. That's when he took the keys. He took the keys of death, hell, and the grave of the devil. The devil doesn't have the keys. You know the devil's on borrowed time tonight. Jesus has them keys. And he said to Peter, I give unto you the keys of the kingdom. That whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then he said, in my name. That's why you must take the name. Now the name of Jesus Christ, no ordinary name. The name of Jesus Christ is a name that is not just above, But the Bible says, far above. Far above every other name. The name of Jesus Christ. Remember that when Jesus was here on earth himself, he never had one day of sickness. Because he had no sin. And the only reason you or me has a day of sickness is because we had sin. We were born in sin. We were shaped in iniquity. But Jesus Christ knew no sin and he had no sin. But he became sin for us. He that had no sin became sin. He took your place. He took my place. All your sin, all my sin, he carried it to the cross. And he bore it. He bore it means he took it on himself so that you don't have to take it no more. In that he died once he ever liveth, and he maketh intercession for the saints. The Bible says he is a high priest that can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities tonight. Praise God. It is so remarkable that the New Testament translation as given by the Holy Spirit here in this scripture in Matthew 8 is even more emphatic in Matthew 8 here than the Old Testament is from Isaiah 53. But they're both the same scriptures. That Christ carried our infirmities and our sicknesses on the cross. He carried them. Not just your sin, but your sickness. The Bible says we all die in the first Adam, but in the second we are made alive. The first man was of the earth, earthly, but the second is the Lord from heaven. He is heavenly. As we bear the image of the earthly, we shall bear the image of the heavenly. We're going to have a body change. We're leaving this earth. The little sister prayed the other night to one of these young brothers, but it blessed me so much. Instructions. They quoted the Bible as instructions. Basic instructions of leaving earth before going to heaven. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? That blessed me so much that one of these young ones could pray that. It was a blessing. And God has given us basic instructions. And we have so much instructions, but we have instructions on healing as well as salvation. It's God's will to heal, just as it's God's will to save. Jesus Christ has paid the price for all. You know, if you were to take the miracles out of the Bible, you would no longer have a Bible. Because this Bible is a supernatural book, because God is a supernatural God with supernatural ability and with supernatural authority. And Jesus, when he came to this earth, went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. When you seek to go about doing good, the devil will be against you. All hell will be against you, but Jesus says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. The Lord's with you. But hell will be against you. You know, when you read Matthew chapter 8, and I don't even need to look at it, but when you go back in Matthew chapter 8 and a few verses, it starts out that the man came to him, the centurion, because his servant lay home sick. And Jesus said, come and heal him. And he said, no.
Yes, amen.
I'm not even worthy that you should come under my roof, but if you only speak the word, he'll live. These miracles you're reading are only a drop in the ocean of what the Lord done. They're not all written here. The Bible says they're not. It said of all was recorded that Jesus done, there wouldn't be enough books in all of this whole world to contain what the Lord done. And he's still working. He's still working because of Hebrews 13 verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We talk about the ministry of this great man or that great man. There's only one ministry. That's the ministry of Jesus Christ. And it's still active and moving. Because he remains the same. He said, whatever you'll ask in my name, you can have it, that the Father may be glorified. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes, wounds, we are healed. It is fighting against Scripture to deny these verses. It is a direct rejection of truth to say they're not true. You know, the devil wants people not to believe it. He wants people not to believe it. The Bible says himself, Jesus Christ, took our infirmities and he bore our diseases. Hallelujah. I'm glad he was wounded for my transgressions and he bore my diseases. You know, when I preach many times on he was wounded from that scripture, he was wounded. And many times I've referred to the five worst medical wounds that can be inflicted upon a human being, and Jesus Christ had every single one of them. That's how much he was wounded. The removal of our disease is included in the atonement. The removal of our diseases. Along with the removal of our sins, the word bear implies substitution. That's what it implies. Suffering for, not sympathy. Suffering with. If Christ had borne our sickness, why should we bear them? If he bore them. Why should you remain an unsaved sinner when Jesus Christ died to save you from sin? And don't leave you in limbo land. But there's a wee verse says that he has translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God. Where do you go further with that? Because we're seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. That's the word of God. I believe the word of God. The devil will tell you you're not it, but just ignore him. You're everything God says you are. Amen. Praise God. Many believe that God sometimes heals the sick, but they have no personal knowledge of Jesus Christ as the indwelling, ever-present healer. They know nothing about the many facts that prove physical health is part of man's salvation. It's a fact. They see others healed, but they question whether healing is God's will for them. They're waiting for a special revelation concerning the will of God in their case. I'm here to tell you tonight, you don't need no special revelation for your case, because the word of God's the truth. And the truth will make you free. The word of God says in Mark 16, lay hands on the sick and the shall recover. It says in the book of James, call the elders of the church and anoint with oil. The prayer of faith will save the sick. If he sinned, God will forgive him. That's God's word. I believe God's word. We don't need no special revelation. And in the meantime, you know, in the meantime that people are seeking out, listen to me this evening, while some people are seeking out, is it God's will to heal them, they spend money and time seeking a physical doctor and tablets and pills to help them. If it's not God's will to heal, why would you do that? You might as well bear the sickness. Why would you seek to get better? If you're going to do that, then you might as well accept the Lord your healer. And there's nothing wrong with the doctors and physicians. God uses doctors, and God's give men knowledge to the penicillin, for instance. God let them have it. Who believes that tonight? It's helped so many people and saved them. That was God's will. And we need to be praying that they find other things to help people. I believe that with all my heart. God's will. God uses doctors and all that. But I'm just making a point that some people say they don't believe in healing, but yet they're trying to get well by human means. Did we not hear this morning that you come without the money? You have to acknowledge you cannot do it. It's God and God alone that does it. Healing's the same. You couldn't save yourself. It's Jesus that saved you on the cross. But you must accept it and confess and believe it. Healing's exactly the same. If it's not God's will for them to be well, it would be wrong for them to seek recovery by any natural means, wouldn't it? If it's not God's will, the only logical, the best way of recovery is by divine means. Divine means. Divine means is beyond human means. Divine means is beyond your means, beyond my means. Divine means is God doing it, and God has paid the price for to do it. I was thinking the other day, you know, and I'm not ridiculing nobody, but when you look at how Jesus preached and how some people today preach, there's a difference. Jesus didn't pick people out and condemn them. He said the opposite. He said, neither did I condemn thee. Go thy way and sin no more. Amen? You don't pick people out and condemn them and pick out a certain sin, because before you were saved, you were as big a sinner as them, if not bigger. And you can't throw stones living in a greenhouse. One sinner can't say that, well, your sin was bigger than my sin. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sin, sin, but God can forgive all sin. Even a murderer can get saved. That's the truth. The Bible says it's the truth. Adulterers, fornicators, God can save them if they repent. And Jesus came to save nobody but sinners. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
It's hope for every one of us. Thank God tonight he died for sinners. You know, the Bible reveals the will of God regarding healing the body as clearly as regards the will of God and the saving of the soul. God's word reveals it. Does God not need to give? God doesn't need to give any special revelation in his will when his will is absolutely plainly revealed in the word of God. And you know, testament is an old English word for will. You ever hear the saying, it's will and testament was written down. Well, this is his will and testament written down. So when you come to the New Testament, you're coming to the new will. Because of the first covenant was perfect, there was no need for another one, but it wasn't perfect. But yet withal, under it, 17,000 and something were healed. You know, we'll get to it later if the Lord leads. I'll tell you the exact number, how many died, and how God stopped the plague. Under an old covenant. But we're under a new covenant. Don't try to tell me that the blood of an animal is greater than the blood of Jesus. Because the blood of an animal had to be offered every single year because it only covered sin for a season. But the Bible says Jesus Christ has offered himself up once and for all. That through the eternal spirit, hallelujah, you can have the recovery of all lost in the fall. I wrote this to you in big letters here. Recovery of all lost in the fall. Not only are you going to be recovered, can you be recovered by salvation while you're here, and God can heal your body when you're here, but when you die, you're going into another dimension. You know, I was thinking this evening as we come in, and there's nothing joyful looking out of that rain and them gray clouds. I don't like them. I'll be honest with you. My son sends me all the images from New Zealand. And he's out in the big field and the skies are blue. And if he goes down to the beach, it's blue and the sky's blue and it's great. And I think I'm there for a bit of reminisce. But when we get to heaven, it's going to be beautiful. I want you to understand in this service tonight, there's nothing on this earth will match the beauty of what we're going to have in heaven. And there's some beautiful places down here, but not one of them will match the beauty of heaven. Jesus said in John 14, I am going to prepare a place for you. And he's coming again to get you. He's coming for you. Isn't that wonderful? Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Glory to God. Well, there's going to be a reuniting, a reunion. Hallelujah. We're going to meet again with all those that went on before us. We're going to meet them again. We're going to go to be with the Lord. It's going to be wonderful. Through the fall, we lost everything. We know that Jesus Christ recovered all through his atonement. The fall plunged us all into universal condemnation, universal death, but Jesus Christ, through the atonement, can save all that'll come. The price has been paid for it. It was on the Day of Atonement that God said, ye shall return every man to his possession. You can read about that and study it in Numbers. On the Day of Atonement, in the Old Testament, every man was restored to his possession. Now, I won't jump the gun tonight. I'll take that slow. And I'm going to give you it real slow. I want you to get a hold of this truth tonight. It's like a brother said, it's not new, but sometimes we need to hear it again. Amen? We need to continually hear the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. The order in the year of Jubilee was this. First, the atonement, then the sounding of the trumpet of Jubilee. With the glad tidings, ye shall return every man to his possession. So now the order is the same. First, Calvary. Then the gospel trumpet is blown. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Isn't that wonderful? He bore our sins. He bore our sicknesses to be sounded to every creature, showing us that we may return every man to his possession. And under the Old Testament, when the Day of Atonement was made and the trumpet was blown, every man could be returned to his possession. How much more when we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ? We blow the gospel trumpet. But the trumpet's not been blown right tonight in some places. You know, have you ever heard of F.F. Bosworth in a book called Christ the Healer? In that book, F.F. Bosworth tells a story about a fella. And he played, what do you call them, trombones? You know one of them yokes you blow through it? It's a trombone, is that the right name? One of them bugles or trombones. But somebody put a wee thing in it. And when he blew it, there wasn't too much noise coming out of it. And he made a big effort, but very little sound come out of it. And when you only blow out part of the gospel, the sound won't be the same as the full gospel. And I tell you, the disciples blew the full gospel trumpet. They blew it. And Paul not only blew it, but he demonstrated it. And he said, not words only, but in the power of God and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. You know, when you read these, and I'm not going to go into all these names tonight, and I'm not going to be long this evening. I won't be long. God's seven redemptive names. Now, if you have a Scofield Bible on page 7, you can study the seven redemptive names. Isn't it amazing? And I love the brethren people. I'm not saying one thing against them. That's where I started. But they're big for the Scofield Bible. I have one as well. But I think a Thompson chain's better myself. That's my personal opinion. But there's good things in Scofield as well, but I don't agree with all his notes. But on page 7... he says a lot of good things. Pity they didn't preach some of it. That's the truth. But one of these names is Jehovah Rapha. Now you know that these are seven redemptive names belong to Jesus Christ. How many knows that? Isaiah 9 verse 6 tells us it. He gave them in the statement one of the redemptive names. I am Jehovah Rapha. This is, I am the Lord, the great physician or the healer. That's his name. That's what he does. You have, if he's given the name, he has the actions to do what the name says. You know, when you look up on your vehicle, do you ever go and you look at a vehicle, if you're buying a vehicle and you look at the stats, you can go in there and look at the spec, and the spec in your vehicle will be at, you know, it's a 1600 or 2 liter engine, and all that, and it'll do urban driving and non-urban. It'll give you the mileage and all them things about it. Not to 60 in so many seconds and a top speed of whatever. Well, the Bible says here that Jehovah Rapha, I am the Lord, your physician, your healer. That's what he is. That's what he does. It's written here in the manual. Basic instructions before leaving earth. Here they are. These are part of them. This is our manual while we're here. And I want to tell you, this Bible's no ordinary book. This is the greatest book ever was. John 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Verse 14 says, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Begotten means special, unique one. He's not an ordinary man. He's very special. Hallelujah. What a wonderful universal promise regarding physical or mental trouble of any kind. There were about 3 million to whom Jehovah gave this promise. And it was meant for every one of them. Every one of them accepted it personally. The psalmist David tells us in Psalms 105 verse 37. He brought them forth also with silver and gold. And there was not one feeble person in their tribes. Not one. When you see the Ten Commandments carrying somebody and somebody's limping, that's not the Bible. Every one of them was good. I'm going to tell you even better. Joseph said, make sure when you go out of here, my bones are carried out too. And they carried his bones out. It's not the Bible. That's the Word of God. Hallelujah. He didn't want them left down in Egypt. And I tell you, God's taking you out of here. Did you hear me? You're going to be changed in a moment, the twinkling of an eye. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God will sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We're getting changed. I tell you, thank God for it. You know, there's a fellow said to me the other day, he said, boy, I'm getting grey hairs, I'm getting old. I says, praise God, I haven't a grey hair in my head. He just looked at me. Hallelujah. I have no hair, but they're somewhere. My hair somewhere. Because the Bible says the hairs of your head are number. Amen? Not a sparrow falls to the ground. Not one hair of your head. Think of that this evening, that every hair that fell of your head, I couldn't tell you where mine are. They're gone long ago. But the Lord knows everyone where they are. And I tell you, we're going to be changed, transformed by the power of God. God's going to change these bodies like unto his own glorious body. Then we should be known as he's known. Hallelujah. What a wonderful Savior we have. I tell you tonight, Buddha and Muhammad have nothing. You know, they're waiting at some tomb tonight with a white horse for one of them false prophets to rise. But Jesus Christ is not in the tomb. He's risen. That's the punch of the gospel. That's why it's powerful. Our Savior's risen, Savior. He's living tonight. And he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. The two outstanding possessions to be restored during the gospel era are health for the soul and body. Therefore, forgiveness and healing were offered universally. Wherever Christ is preached, it's offered. The acceptable year of the Lord, in order that the inner and the outer man might be whole and ready for the service of the Lord. Healing's paid for tonight. Faith comes by healing. The reason why many of the sick in our day are not return to physical possession of the health and strength. Because they hear the gospel trumpet, they never hear it in this line. They don't hear it in this line. Let's tell the truth. They hear that the Lord doesn't mean that. That he did it once, but he can't do it again. That's a direct opposite to the Bible. Because whatever Jesus Christ done once, he can and will do again. Because he says, I've never changed. Malachi 3 verse 6, I am the Lord thy God. I change not. God never changes. Romans 10, 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, the hearing the word of God. You could hear somebody's good opinion. It wouldn't maybe give you the faith, but the word of God will. We need to hear preaching on everything that we have need of. What do you mean by that, Brother Tom? Well, if this room was filled tonight with the unsaved, I believe the Holy Spirit would lead me to preach specifically in salvation. Because I want, that's the greatest miracle to see people saved. But if people need physical healing, we need to preach on healing. And if we believe Jesus is coming again, we need to preach on the second coming of the Lord. And if we want people to be filled with the Holy Ghost, we need to preach on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. When the day of Pentecost was fully come. Does something for you even thinking about it, doesn't it? Praise God. Oh, brother, it mightn't be for me. You need to read Acts 2:39. For the promise is unto you and to your children, Now that promise was to them there then that he's talking to, and to those that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. You're called or you wouldn't have been here. No man cometh unto me except my Father draweth him, and no man can know him save to him whom the Son will reveal him. It is God that calls man. Adam never sought God. God sought him. And he was hiding. Adam wasn't out in the garden saying, Lord, here I am. Adam was hiding. And God found him. We worry so much about how the Lord's going to get unsaved people. But Jesus says, none have I lost that thou hast given me. He's going to get every single one. Amen? But we must do our part and preach and blow the trumpet. Many ministers have their gospel trumpet put out by denominational belief. You know, F. Seth Bosworth told a story about this man. He said to put a wee thing in the trumpet, but he didn't know about it. And he was blowing and puffing on it. But he went through the whole parade and he didn't even know about it. And he said a lot of preachers today are going through the motions and they don't know about it. There's something in the trumpet. And they're not blowing the full gospel. There's a blockage because their denominational won't let them. Our man doesn't believe in it. Well, my man's the Lord. And he healed all that came to them. Amen. Matthew 8:17, I'm closing in one moment, definitely states Christ healed all the diseases on the ground of atonement. The atonement was his reason for making exception while healing the sick. Since it is our sickness he bore, his atonement embracing us all, it would require the healing of all to fulfill this prophecy. Jesus Christ is still healing all who will come to him. Now, I'm not going to turn to Numbers tonight, but you could turn to Numbers 16, 46 to 50. And there was 14,700 died during the plague in the time of Aaron, the priest. But Aaron was a type of Jesus Christ. And Aaron is a type of Jesus Christ. Ran amongst the people and he made atonement for them by the offering of blood, sprinkling. And he could not call no blessing down until there was a sprinkling of the blood. But after the sprinkling of the blood, Aaron was fit to go through them and call the blessing down. And God stemmed the plague and nobody else died. 2,000 years ago on the cross, Jesus Christ shed his blood to stay the plague. And we don't have to die no more. We can live. Look and live. That's the message tonight. God bless you this evening. Let's stand our feet and go to pray, and our brother's going to come. Praise God tonight. Look and live. Full atonement cannot be. There's a song we used to sing about that. What a Savior. Praise God. Let's stand up tonight. Praise God. Let's close our eyes. If you have a need tonight, lift your hand up to the Lord. I'm going to pray for you. I'm nobody, but he's everybody. You believe the Lord tonight that God can do something for you. And if you're not saved, call on the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. But just as you call on the name of the Lord to be saved, call on the name of the Lord for your physical healing. Say, Lord, I accept you as my healer. Just the way you say, Lord, I accept you as my Savior. He's a Savior healer and a baptizer in the Holy Ghost. And he's a coming King. Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight for the truth of the Word of God. Lord, ye said ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Father, I am praying tonight in the name that you have set far above every other name, the name of Jesus Christ. We reverence that name. Father, I'm praying you'll touch every man, every woman, with their hands raised in this room tonight. Whatever the infirmity is, Lord, we know was paid for on the cross. By your wounds, your stripes, we are healed. We proclaim it tonight. We believe it by faith in the Son of God. We receive you and accept you as our healer tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, bless every single person under this roof. Bless those that couldn't be here tonight. And Lord, for the services that lay ahead, may you help every one of us. And you know we need a place, a building for the fellowship. Lord, we pray you'll make the way straight, clear. Just as we heard this morning, that you'll do it, Lord. And we thank you for it. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you as our brother comes and sings whatever the Lord leads him to the back Wednesday night, 7:30. And I'm really wanting to preach about it. You know what I've been thinking about? Praying for revival. Now, there's a subject. But we need revival. We heard this morning, we need revival. Everywhere needs it. But if God sent it once, he can send it again. God bless you.
Amen. Praise God. Let's sing that little chorus. He's able. He's able. I know my God is able. I know my God is able to carry me.